I'm spiritual, but not religious. You may have heard that. You may have said that. You may resonate with that. You may wonder what that means. I remember first hearing it. I don't know if it was the first time I heard it, but it's a memory I have associated with the first time I heard it. It was a television interview, and Barbara Walters asked former White House intern Monica Lewinsky if she had sinned, referring to her affair with then-President Clinton. And Monica Lewinsky replied, "I'm not very religious. I'm more spiritual." I'll let that sit for a moment. You know, as a side note, I've always felt bad for Monica Lewinsky. She was just a kid, and her whole life defined by that event. But nonetheless, that was brought up into the consciousness, spiritual and religious. In their book, No Longer Invisible, Religion in Higher Education, authors Rhonda Jacobson and Douglas Jacobson compare and contrast how religion and spirituality are often conceived. They write this. This isn't necessarily their opinion, but this is their explanation of how religion and spirituality are often seen or contrasted. Religion is about being a member of one specific religious tradition rather than any other, and it involves responsibilities tied to membership in that particular group, attending religious services, affirming the group's beliefs and rules, and referring to the religious authorities who are honored in that tradition, the guys who get to wear these things. The spirituality is more nebulous and more accessible to everyone. Spirituality is about self-discovery and self-expression, about authenticity, compassion, respect for others, and the freedom to explore any number of potentially life-enriching ideas and ways of life. Religion is taught by churches, synagogues, and temples, whereas spirituality is what people discover and decide on their own about truth, goodness, meaning, and what really matters. That's the common understanding of the difference between religion and spirituality. They interviewed a number of college students, and one of them put it this way: "In college, I'm spiritual. I think more is there, but I'm not religious, at least not now. I mean, this is college. Religion is for later when I'm not having fun." Another phrase often used is, "Spirituality unites, religion divides." Not everyone is religious, perhaps, but we all have a spiritual story to share. Now, the authors point out that this distinction isn't exactly clean. We can think of people like Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Bishop Desmond Tutu, or probably anybody in this room who would be hard to argue are not spiritual. That is, they're not about authenticity and compassion and respect for others and so forth. And they were, or are, all embedded in a particular religious tradition as well. So it isn't quite right to say religion is everything bad and spirituality is everything good. In fact, in a study by the Higher Education Research Institute, 100,000 first-year college students were surveyed, and the research found out that students who are strongly religious also tend to be highly spiritual compared to those definitions we talked about earlier. Now, the Jacobsons, in interviewing students, found that those who called themselves spiritual but not religious associated spirituality in terms with words like quest or compassion, and religion with words like assurance or commitment. And none of those words are bad, but each has a different focus. In fact, I might say a healthy blend of commitment and compassion and of quest and assurance would make for a holistic life. And that's kind of the point. That's the intention that I find within our own community. We want to celebrate and encourage those traits commonly associated with spirituality, such as quest, authenticity, compassion, freedom, and the best of those qualities associated with religion, community, commitment, structure, guidance, morality, but not judgment, structure, not rigidity, guidance, not coercion. The sharing of stories and values is opposed to debate over doctrines and beliefs. Whenever I hear the question, What do Presbyterians believe? I want to run screaming into the darkness. Because I know what happens next. Someone comes up with a laundry list of beliefs that I likely do not share. On the other hand, I do like the question, what does being a Presbyterian mean to you? And then I can tell some stories. I can reflect and talk about my own experience with this particular and admittedly quirky band of organized religion that has challenged and inspired me to take risks and to take responsibility for social justice, to wrestle with texts and traditions, to practice stewardship, to explore big questions in my own life's meaning, to do the sometimes frustrating but ultimately rewarding work of building community and strengthening relationships. And of course, and even in the experience of worship, to seek to attune myself to that which is larger and deeper than my own ego, made known through music, poetry, scripture, reflection, meditation. So I want to be spiritual and religious. All right, so what does any of this have to do with Evolution Sunday? Well, Evolution Sunday, or Evolution Weekend, came about because of religion in the negative sense. Biologist Michael Zimmerman realized that religion and religious belief is the single largest factor in preventing much of the public from supporting the teaching of science in public schools, especially evolution through natural selection. He thought if he could get religious professionals and religious institutions to affirm evolution, to sign a letter saying they're on the team, that it would help people be less resistant to science. And it's been going on for about 10 years now. But notice the divide, religion and science, religion versus science, religious truth versus evolution. Never the twain shall meet. And a 2014 Gallup poll, 46% of Americans believe that humans exist as God made them in their present state. Couple that with another 32% who think or affirm evolution, but that God guides it. Only 15% in this Gallup poll understand evolution as scientists do. That is, through natural selection with no supernatural shenanigans, to borrow a phrase from physicist Lawrence Krauss. 15%. Thus, the impetus for Evolution Sunday, the Sunday closest to Charles Darwin's birthday. So we welcome today Charles Darwin back to church. He's been demonized far too long as a sinner on the sinner's bench. We say, Charles, you're at home here. Yes, you can participate in religion and you can affirm science. You don't have to check your brain with your hat and coat in the narthex. And you can find out more about Michael Zimmerman's project by going to the website clergyletterproject.org or just Google Evolution Sunday. Cascades Presbytery, that's our presbytery, thanks to our session, recently approved the church affirming the Clergy Letter Project. So if I get another presbytery, it'll go to the General Assembly. We'll see. My last heroic struggle with that lost 49-2. I'm nothing if not hopeful. University of Chicago professor of ecology and evolution Jerry Coyne has written a popular book called Faith Versus Fact, Why Science and Religion Are Incompatible. I recommend it. And I'm not sure if I disagreed with anything he wrote, religion and faith as he defined it, and as the way the vast, vast majority of religious people define it. That is, having to do with beliefs about the universe and about human beings and human nature is incompatible with science. But notice, it isn't necessarily a conflict between science and what we might call spirituality, as we defined it. In fact, I think some of the most delightfully dour atheists, such as Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss and Jerry Coyne, Daniel Dennett, really are spiritual in a sense. I think they probably would sneer at me for saying that, but if spirituality is, as the Jacobsons defined it in the book I quoted earlier, self-discovery, self-expression, authenticity, compassion, respect for others, the freedom to explore any number of potentially life-enriching ideas and ways of life, well, what's not to like? Science is an expression, perhaps, of that kind of spirituality. In fact, when you watch scientists explain their subject matter with excitement and awe, you might think they were mystics. Now, none of those that I named would have a supernatural bone in their cranium, but they would be, according to how we've been defining it, spiritual. A book by one of the new atheists, Sam Harris, is titled Waking Up, A Guide to Spirituality Without Religion. And he writes, how we pay attention to the present moment largely determines the character of our experience and therefore the quality of our lives. He says further, our world is dangerously driven by religious doctrines that all educated people should condemn. And yet, there's more to understanding the human condition than science and secular culture generally admit. That's Sam Harris, the guy who wrote End of Faith. I mean, he's talk about a guy who's probably more toxic in his language about faith and religion. It's Sam Harris. But he says, wait a second, there's something about this. Now, he's not affirming by taking things on faith or affirming a supernatural being or presence behind it all. He's talking about, as he writes, love, compassion, moral goodness, self-transcendence. Now, Harris's field of study is neuroscience. And he says this is what he believes is really the quest here. The feeling that we call I is an illusion. There is no discrete self or ego living like a minotaur in the labyrinth of the brain. And the feeling that there is, the sense of being perched somewhere behind your eyes, looking out at the world that is separate from yourself, can be altered or entirely extinguished. Although such experiences of self-transcendence are generally thought about in religious terms, there is nothing in principle irrational about them. From both a scientific and a philosophical point of view, they represent a clearer understanding of the way things are. Deepening that understanding and repeatedly cutting through the illusion of the self is what is meant by spirituality in the context of this book, the book he wrote, Sam Harris. I'm going to pause for a second there. I think that's pretty interesting. He goes on to say, a true spiritual practitioner is someone who's discovered that it's possible to be at ease in the world for no reason, if only for a few moments at a time, and that such ease is synonymous with transcending the apparent boundaries of the self. And there's nothing supernatural about this, according to Harris, nothing having to do with belief or dogma, nothing spooky, nothing you have to take on faith, no beings or big being one must believe in, no heaven, hell, reincarnation, miracles, none of that is necessary. Spirituality and thus happiness is well-being by living now. An important path to this awareness is meditation, and he talks about that throughout his book. So the illusion of the I keeps us clinging and grasping, trying to experience pleasure and to avoid pain. Ironically, avoiding being happy by trying to find happiness. Now, while some important figures in history like Buddha or Jesus demonstrated the path to authenticity, to self-transcendence and freedom, it wasn't because they were religious or had supernatural beliefs or divine in themselves. They were, as we heard last week, awake. Now, where I find myself perhaps in a slightly different place than Sam Harris or the New Atheists is that I happen to like church, at least my version of church. I've found that the practice of religion, albeit a practice with many differences to what I inherited, liberating and a way toward wakefulness. And what I also find exciting is that there are many, many more people coming out and saying something similar. Not the same thing, but something similar. Also feeling this way as well. And we are engaged, I think, in a very exciting process right now of co-creating as we go. And our partners in this quest include the non-religious, such as Sam Harris, and those who find themselves, perhaps like many of us, nourished by the connection with our heritage while reforming it from within, embracing wisdom wherever it is found, in science, in song, in poetry, in tradition, and in the challenge of tradition. And to me, that's the spirit of Evolution Sunday, and that's why I say I wish it were Evolution Sunday all year round. With that, I'm going to leave the last word to Charles Darwin himself, writing near the end of his life on matters religious. He said, "A person who has no assured and ever-present belief in the existence of a personal God or of a future existence with retribution and reward can have, for the rule of life, as far as I can see, only to follow those impulses and instincts which are the strongest or which feel or which seem to be the best ones. As for myself, I believe that I have acted rightly in steadily following and devoting my life to science. I feel no remorse from having committed any great sin, but have often and often regretted that I have not done more direct good to my fellow creatures." Hard to get more spiritual than that. Amen.